I want to greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. I count it a privilege to be here this morning, to be a part of your group this morning. So I gather this group here is very fluid. You enjoy interacting. So can somebody tell me what Matthew 24 talks about?
The end times.
The end times. Okay, that's correct. So you can open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Now, I'm not going to preach on the end times this morning, but we are going to read what it has to say about that and something that's very important as we look at the end times. So as I'm reading this passage, I'm going to read the first 14 verses. There is three instructions in this passage. I'm going to ask you what they are, and we're going to talk about one of those this morning. Matthew 24, the first 14 verses. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So what instructions do you see here in this passage that would apply to us today?
Verse 4,
what's it say?
Take heed that no man deceive you.
Okay, very good. That's one. Yep. Second one.
Okay,
I would tie that all together with the first one, but that's okay.
See, let it be not troubled.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, that's a second, that's the other one, yes. And there's one more, it could be two more maybe, but when I asked my congregation this, they found one I hadn't found. So maybe you could find one I didn't find either. That's correct, yes. Endure to the end. Now, you could say there's one in verse 14 also, preach the gospel, okay? So there could be four there. So this morning I want to talk about verse 4, be not deceived. And so the purpose of the message is to stir up in our hearts a sincere love for and knowledge of the Holy Scriptures so that false teaching does not appeal to our fleshly desires. We live in the flesh. And there's things that appeal to our flesh that we need to be careful that they do not come in place of the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. So what does the word deceive mean? Now these are definitions from the Bible Concordance and also from like Webster's Dictionary. To stray from safety and truth. To allow false information to persuade the mind and body of its supposed truth.
That's right.
To cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid.
That's right.
To give a false impression. The idea that truth is no longer truth. And we see that in today's world. We are bombarded with gender. Are you a man or are you a lady? The LGBT thinking, the idea that truth is no longer truth. when you are following a compass, if you set your compass on a certain degree, and as you're traveling, you get off by 1 degree, how far off would you be when you get to your destination? Pretty far, depending on how far your destination is. Pretty far. It's the same way with the Bible. If we are deceived by just a little bit, when we get to the end of our life's journey, we're going to be way off. So we need to be careful that we are not deceived even by the slightest deception. So along with deception, what is the opposite of deception? Truth. That's right. And so the Word of God is truth. And because the Word of God is truth, God expects us to use His Word as a guide for how we do life.
That's right.
So when there is a problem we have in life, we go to God's Word to find the truth about what we're facing. Too often, because we are carnal creatures, we base our thoughts or opinions on information that we have determined to be true because it fits our theology. Okay? Sometimes it might be true, but it might not be true. What we read or hear in the news isn't always true, but God's Word is always true, and it will always stand the test of time. And here's something to keep in mind. God will never be deceived. God is always truth. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. To sum this up here is, God is righteous, the devil is a deceiver. All the spiritual deception that we see in the world around us comes from the devil. So there's three questions I want to answer this morning in the message. What leads us to a place where we are prone to being deceived? What makes us prone to deception? What can keep us from being deceived? And how can I increase my spiritual perception so I am not deceived? So let's look at the first question. What leads us to a place where we are prone to being deceived? And I have four areas that can lead us to deception. If you look at verse 12 in our opening scripture, Matthew 24, let me just turn back there. You might want to keep a marker in there because we're going to refer back to that various times. Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So the first thing I have here is our love for the truth of the Word of God grows cold. Mm-hmm. We go through life, we're doing life, and our love just, it wanes, grows cold. You know, there is not a person sitting here, if you're honest with yourselves, that is not prone to being deceived. All of us are prone to being deceived. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He says here, brethren. Now, what does that word brethren mean? It means a group like this, okay? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, that means a person is walking away from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's addressed to brethren. And so we need to be careful. Anyone sitting here is prone to being deceived. So think about our love for the Word of God. When we don't take time to read the Bible, to study it, to allow God to speak to us, it's going to make us prone to being deceived. Just think about those of you who are married here. If you don't take time to work on that marriage relationship. When there's a wrong committed, to make it right away. Your love for your spouse is going to wane. It's going to go backward. Just like the Word of God. If our love for God's Word grows cold, it will go backward. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8. And here Christ is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, "Ye hypocrites." These are the spiritual leaders of his day. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." These spiritual leaders were looking and saying the right things, but their heart was not with it, with God. Their love for God had waned. How about us? Do we go through life looking good on the outside, dressing right, saying the right things, but not walking with the Lord? It makes us prone to deception. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses here. And John, how long do I have here? I'm good. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2, reading the first 10 verses. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming, is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Here we have an illustration of a person that allowed themselves to be deceived because they did not receive the love of the truth. The love for God's word was not what it should be. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Mm-hmm. They will not endure sound doctrine. The truth will be taught, and they'll say, "I don't like that. That goes against what I personally think is correct. It hurts my feelings." But it says, after their own lust, they're going to have people come in that teach the things they want to hear. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Their love for the truth of the Scripture is not what it should be. So the first thing I have about leading to a place of deception is our love for the Word of God grows cold. The second thing I'm going to look at is we are consumed with the gain of earthly accomplishments. I'm going to speak to us men. Us men like to conquer things. And that's how God made us. He made us leaders. He gave us that inner will to conquer things, to accomplish things. And I think we as men can get caught up in the gain of earthly accomplishments. Look at the next book in the Bible, the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Or you could say for the love of earthly gain. They're teaching things just to get earthly gain, a love of money, filthy lucre's sake. Now just turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, this is a familiar passage to us, but I think it applies to what we're talking about today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and stripes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I'm just going to stop reading there. Is it wrong to be rich? I don't think so. If God's blessed you with riches, that's okay. But there are certain snares that we face, those of us who are rich. And brothers and sisters, I'm rich. Okay? I have all the food I need, all the clothes I need to wear. I'm blessed. But according to the world standard, I'm rich, okay? And so there's warnings here for those of us who have more than we need. The warning is, be content. Don't love money. The love of money is at the root of all evil. Being consumed with the gain of earthly accomplishments. We get our focus on making money, growing our business, providing for our family, and those things are all well and good in the proper perspective. We need to focus on God and what he has done for us. You see, the love of riches distorts our spiritual perception. The love of riches distorts our spiritual perception. Let's move on to the third point here. The appeal of fleshly desires. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, or you could say having your lifestyle, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. abstain from fleshly lust, because the fleshly lust war against our soul. They are in contrast to our soul and the well-being of our soul. Our fleshly desires are always in contrast or conflict with our spiritual desires. Turn back to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 23. And this is at the end of Jesus explaining to his disciples the parable of the sower. Verse 22. Matthew 13, 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Are we letting the cares of this world choke our spiritual thirst for God's word? Let's be careful we don't let that happen to us. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That word affection there means the things that interest you. What you have a sentiment for. What takes your time and energy. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And the last one in this, what leads us to a place where we are prone to being deceived. Back in our opening scripture, verse 11. Something that I think about a lot. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The persuasiveness of false teachers, false prophets. I said earlier that no one sitting here is not prone to being deceived. And so we as church leaders are also prone to being deceived. But God has made us responsible for the sheep he's called in our flock. And so we have to be extra careful that what we teach is truth. As I get older, hopefully I'm maturing, I'm more careful to speak slowly when somebody asks me a tough question than just rather give them a quick answer. Because sometimes my quick answer, it might be right in a sense, but it might have some areas that need worked on. And so I'm slower to give quick answers. I think about the answer more, because as a church leader, I'm called to lead according to the truth of God's word. Okay? So we need to be careful about the persuasiveness of false teachers. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I find this scripture here very intriguing. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What I gather from this scripture is that Satan's workers have the ability to appear as beings of righteousness. And so what they say to you comes across as being righteous. They're deceitful. They look like they are apostles of Christ, but they are not. It says here, their end shall be according to their works. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So it says here that in the latter times, some will depart from the truth of God's word because they gave heed to doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, false teachers. And it's, he said these teachers are going to teach these things listed here. Don't follow teachers like that. And as they, as a false teacher teaches, one thing they do is they make things sound so close to the scripture, but they have enough false in there that it's false. It has enough good words to sound biblical, but there's error in their core value of what they are teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Is truth evil spoken of today? It is. When we think about how God created male, female, and he created marriage between one man and one woman for life, that is being evil spoken of in today's world. That is false teaching. But what concerns me here is it says there's going to be false prophets among the people and false teachers among you. John, are you a false teacher? I hope not. That's right. But you know, you think about it. It says among the people that we respect and love, there's going to be false teaching there. So we need to know the truth so we can pick out these things that are not false. So we pick out the things that are true. And as we think about the Bible, you know, in today's world, there is a thought among us that the Bible doesn't hold all the answers to life's problems. We need to go somewhere else to find some more answers. But brothers and sisters, the Bible has the answers to living victorious Christian lives. So when we have a problem in life, when we have a struggle, the Bible holds the answer to that. But there are people that are talking out there talking, the Bible is good, but we need more than the Bible. We need other things too. Colossians 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you or seduce you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Now there's some big words in that verse there. So the word philosophy means the love and pursuit of human wisdom. So it says here, beware lest men seduce you through the love and pursuit of human wisdom, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, or the theories that this world uses to make their decisions. And it contrasts it here with "and not after Christ." So these things are going to try to use to persuade us that what they're teaching is right and proper. It is not. It's not after Christ. So those four things we talked about are things that can lead us to being prone to deception. Now let's look at the second question. What is the solution to not being deceived? Go build a cabin in the mountains and live as a hermit. No, that will not help. So here is what I think the Word of God would say is a solution to not being deceived. Love the Lord your God with your whole being. With your whole being. That is the first one. The second one is very close to it. Love the Word of God above all other resources. In today's world, there are many voices vying for our attention. We need to love the Word of God above those resources. Let's look at another one here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. I'm going to start back at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. My point here is, we need to have soft, pliable hearts. So when God speaks to us, we can hear and listen. Don't have hard hearts. And he refers back to the Israelites in the Old Testament having hard hearts. A hard heart is described this way. It's a verb. Okay, a verb is an action word. Okay, and so if you have a hard heart, it means you're making a choice to have a hard heart. And a hard heart is one that is a stubborn heart. It's a person that digs in their heels and says, I want it my way. A person that is lacking spiritual perception because of their stubborn ways. And verse 13 has part of the answer for not having a hard heart. It says, exhort one another daily, while it is called today. That means that each one of you sitting here is watching out for your brothers and sisters in this group here. And you see somebody that's walking astray from Scripture, you go to that person and you exhort them with love and care. You say, brother or sister, I see an area of your life that I'm concerned about. I want you to think about this. Is that going to lead you in the right direction? So we play a part in helping the brotherhood stay true and faithful to the Word of God. So thinking about the solution to not being deceived, we need to love God, we need to love His Word, we need to have soft, pliable hearts. Let's look at one more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I'm just going to jump into the middle of the verse here. Three words. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Love those who God has placed around you to care for you. Now, if we're all honest with ourselves, there are certain people we get along with easier than others. It just seems to be, that's how we are. There's other ones that we seem to, I'll say, butt heads with easier, okay? I don't know your group here, okay? But as you think about yourself, who do you kind of butt heads with, okay? Make an extra effort to love that person. Choose to love that person because God has placed them in your midst to help you remain faithful to God. And when you choose to love them, then when they come to speak to your life, speak into your life, you will hear them in a better way. Not only will you hear them, you will desire to hear them and you will value the input in your life. You will value their input into your life. Another thing to also think about here is we think about loving and brotherhood. Value the input of the spiritual leaders God has placed over you. The Bible says that they watch for your soul. They are concerned about your soul. And so when they come and talk to you, they're doing it because they are watching for your soul. We're not going to turn here for sake of time, but Ephesians 4 talks about the body and the importance of the body. It talks there about speaking the truth in love and edifying itself in love. And that word love is an adjective there. Describes it as truthful love, speaking the truth in love, and edifying love or building up love. So my encouragement here is to value the input of the brotherhood in our lives as they speak biblical truth to us. And the last thing I want to think about there, as we think about what's the solution to not being deceived? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read that so I get it correct. Matthew chapter 6. Reading verses 19 and 20. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up treasures in heaven. As you do life, value the things of eternal value. Value the things that have eternal value. Okay, the third question I said I wanted to answer is, how can I increase my spiritual perception or my spiritual discernment? What does it mean to have discernment? The word discernment means the ability to perceive and see something that is not easily seen. To see that is obscure. I enjoy hunting deer. When you're in the woods, God created deer so they hide. And so you have to pay attention and look carefully and look for that tail twitching or that leg walking through the laurel. You have to be discerning of what you see. And so how can I increase my spiritual discernment so that I am not prone to deception? Well, I think you were at Matthew 6. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word filled there means to be gorged or to supply in abundance. Have an inner longing for God and His Word. As you read God's Word each day, as you study it, and you come to a word you don't understand, look it up in a dictionary. or a concordance, or ask somebody that's older than you, what does this word mean? As you study God's word, find out what these words mean so you can understand it in a deeper way and increase your spiritual perception, your spiritual discernment. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 14 through 21. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. My point here is, as you look at your life, do you see your life as one that has spiritual apathy? You're not as alert spiritually as you should be. He says here, awake out of your sleep. Awake out of your spiritual apathy. Verse 17, ask God to help you understand what his will is for your life. Discerning God's will is not that hard. If you are obedient to what God is asking of you for the stage of life you're in God's will. And he will reveal that to you as you go through life. If you're in the will of God, if you're being obedient to his word, to what he's asking of you, you are in the will of God. And then verse 20 is something that's so important that we forget sometimes. Be grateful. It says here, giving thanks always for all things. There's a verse that says, in everything give thanks. But this says, for all things. So be grateful for the experiences God allows in your life. A grateful heart opens your heart up to learn and to be taught. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. A very familiar verse to us. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You could say for the teaching that comes from the mind of God. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable to correct our wrong thinking. It's profitable for correction, or how to restore us to proper use. Something we thought was right and it's not. It'll help us to restore to proper use. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Now that word instruction there means chastisement. So when God brings experiences into your life to chasten you, to draw you back to his heart, it's helping us to learn how to express the holy character of God in our lives. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. One man said, he says it this way, that the man of God may be complete, completely complete unto all good works. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, or you could say having their senses trained to discern both good and evil. The more you use something, the more familiar it gets to you, the better you are at using it. When my children learned to drive, they were unsure of themselves. They would drive, and as they got more familiar with driving on the road, watching what goes on around them, they could do it without thinking about it. Those who by reason of use have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. The more you handle the Word of God, the closer it gets to your heart, the more you will allow God to teach you through His Word, the better you will be coming at understanding it. One more closing scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm just going to stop there. His divine power hath given us some of the things that we need. All things that we need to have a successful Christian life. A life of godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Through a knowledge of God and his word. We can partake of the divine nature. That means we can have fellowship with God himself. We've escaped the corruption as in the world through lust. Starting again at verse 5. And beside these things, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a word here used here two times. Verse 5, it says, giving all diligence. And then verse 10, give diligence. Be diligent in studying God's word. This is the most important thing that we can do to keep from being deceived. Know the truth so well that false teaching jumps out at us. A bank teller is taught what real dollar bills feel like. So when a fake dollar bill comes through, they feel the difference. They don't check out the fake dollar bills first. They find out what is real. They study that. They get to feel that. So for you and I, as Christians, let's know the truth of the scripture. So that when somebody comes along and teaches us something, we say, I have a red flag about what he is saying there. And you go to God's word. And you say, yeah, that's not what God's word says. God's word says this. That was false teaching. Okay? So be diligent in studying God's word. So in closing, I just want to wish God's blessing on you as you study his word, as you seek to do what is right each day, and as you live for him, I want to encourage you to live holy, set-apart lives. So when the world is looking on, they see what you're living. They see how you're living. And God's name is glorified by your life. But the world looks on and says, I want what you have. And then you can lead them to a walk with Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word has warnings for us today. And the warning we talked about today was to be not deceived. Lord, there are many voices around us today that are vying for our attention, trying to pull us away from the truth of your word. Lord, I pray for each brother and sister here in this congregation this morning, that they would have a renewed desire to know you in a deeper way, a renewed desire to study your word, a renewed desire to walk close to you. Lord, help them to not let the cares of this world draw them away from you. Lord, as we depart from this place of worship, may our lives be a light to those we minister with and to. In your name we pray. Amen.